Welcome to our podcast, Predatech Datenschutz Insights. Today, as you can see, we are speaking English because we have a really, really great guest and we thought, okay, it could be fun to do an episode in English, and I will introduce you in a bit. Just to explain, what is Predatech Datenschutz Insights about? It's a podcast dedicated to data protection and compliance. In each episode, we talk to different specialists in the sector to learn about their experiences and best practices that they implement in their businesses to comply with data protection regulations and legislations. I'm Xenia Baka, CRO at Predatech, a platform that helps companies implement data protection programs in an organized way and meet growing regulatory challenges. Today, I have the pleasure of being able to speak with Bruna Asensio, Team Lead Legal and Compliance at Emma, the sleep company, so I'm super, super happy. Bruna is a lawyer with many years of experience in a wide range of industries. She has been working at Emma for almost 1.5 years now, where among other things, she's responsible for the strategic planning of the legal department, as well as the international legal support of 26 countries with different data protection legislations, right? Well, welcome Bruna, thank you so much for joining us, and tell us something about yourself and how did you find your way into the world of data protection?
Sure, first, really happy to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation. Really happy to participate and just share a little bit of my experience and lesson learned, and hope that that could be really useful for someone that is listening to that. So just a quick background, I'm from Brazil, I graduated in business law, and I started my career 100% to focus on tax law as a consultant, and then somehow I just drifted away to a more corporative law, and I started to do an LLM, also mixing a little bit of tax and corporate law. That was when I started to work with business recovery. We have this special program in Brazil for companies that are in a bad financial situation. Mm-hmm. And that was when I really got involved with compliance. And then when I moved to Germany, I'm living in Germany for the last 4 years, and that is why this podcast is being recorded in English. Not that confident to speak in German for a huge public.
It's such and a difficult language to learn.
True. And then, so in this moment in my career, I decided that I really want to focus on compliance because I really have the interesting about the law, but most part about how that really affect the business. So how the business are capable to deal with all the changes in laws and regulations. So yeah, that is also when the GDPR started. So it was actually a natural path to enter in the compliance world together with GDPR.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's amazing. And right now you're working for Emma, the sleep company. So what are your areas of responsibility there, and how does that relate to data protection? Like, tell us.
Sure. So I'm the team leader of the legal and compliance team, and at Emma we have three areas of legal together. So that is the legal part, contracts, contract revision, data privacy, and compliance. So I'm leading these three different focus areas, but I can say that as a new company, it's really hard to set the barriers between the areas. So we are always touching the three of them. Being actually data privacy, one of our main focus, because we are a customer-centric company, and we really want to create this safe and trust environment for our customers, our business partners, and even our employees.
Of course, that's so important nowadays. And I wanted to ask you, when you started working at Emma, there wasn't a pre-existing data privacy program, right? You mentioned that. How was your experience building that from scratch?
Yeah, so when I joined Emma in 2020, like that means 10 years ago in startup years, we didn't have a proper privacy program in place. However, the company already had the concern around this topic. That means we already had on board external data privacy office, and we already have some contractual structures, but that was that. But we knew that about the importance of the topic and how urgent we need to develop that. especially to develop that privacy framework. That was when we decided to really to build a team and to have people dedicated to this topic inside of the company. So our biggest hit was to have a data privacy expert working with us. Then with that team structured, we start to actually draft the data privacy framework. The problem is, as I heard before, that data privacy is like a sleepy giant. So when you kind of poking it, you figure out that it's actually bigger than you have imagined. So from the day one, we already have a huge backlog. And it's just not exactly because we start late, it's just because this is the reality with data privacy. Even when the legislation was born, so GDPR was born, the companies had already this backlog because they were not 100% what they should do, but they knew that they should do a lot. So I can list that actually as the first disadvantages of the program, that we already start that with this huge backlog. And added to that, the fact that Emma grew really, really fast. So you mentioned at the beginning about 26 countries. Nowadays, we are more than 30. So in a short space of 1 month, we are really growing and expanding to a new country. Yeah, so
that's exciting, but also so challenging, no?
Exactly. And that also means that when we kick out this project, we had this backlog and we need to put in the same balance. So firefight, because that is the reality of every legal team, you are dealing with the daily demands, but also focus and create some structure. Because the only way to get out of this firefight mode is if you have some structure behind.
For sure. And how do you support 30 countries? Like, do you work with country managers? Do you have teams there? Do you do that all from the headquarters? Like, how do you organize yourself there?
Yeah, so we in the company had a really interesting way to work, that we are divided per countries. Mm-hmm. So we have the country teams for each location where we're operating, and we have also the data privacy team focused when led by a data privacy expert that is really capable to navigating in global law, so worldwide legislations. But we also have local support. It's impossible to have full knowledge about every single country where we are operating. So we really trust in our network, and every time it is some support is required, we need to go to them.
Absolutely, I can imagine. So, and this is a question we didn't talk about before, but let me just ask you, what's the most challenging country you found? Or was there one where you say like, oh my God, this one gave me a headache?
I think that there are three countries that I can say that they are tricky because, so like that, Brazil, the legislation just kicked out. So that is this issue. When you start a legislation, you're not really 100% sure how it's going to be applied, mm-hmm. right? So that is the tricky part. I also considering personally Russia and China, I think there are two countries that are a little bit problematic for everyone that wants to work on that. They are really specific because when you think about Europe, you can kind of copy-paste some what you have implemented in one country to another, some similar in South America and North America, but you cannot do that for Asia, so yeah.
No, for sure not. Russia and China are definitely a headache for many clients of ours as well. I hear that on a regular, I'm not surprised.
Good.
Amazing, amazing. Well, thank you for sharing that. International programs are so exciting. And I mean, it's what we're dealing with now. I mean, companies grow so quickly internationally, especially in e-commerce. It's so typical to be very quickly everywhere, right? But then the regulatory part is quite a headache. Apart from that, you are having a lot of colleagues. Your company is growing also very quickly, right? So do you feel like internally your colleagues value the importance of a data privacy program, or did it like require a lot of persuasion to get them into that?
Yeah, I will not say it's about like value the importance. I think that the whole society already reached this level of knowledge that is an important topic, right? You cannot run away from that. Mm-hmm. However, people are not fully aware of how often they touch that topic during their daily work. So for me, the challenge part is much more about not praying how important it is, but really show them how to deal with that and how to act according to the legal requirements. I think that is a challenge for every single company, is to understand how to adapt and how to implement the data privacy inside of their own business and bring that to the reality, because it's really easy to put everything in paper, right? Difficult is actually to make people follow that.
Yeah, and policies, that's something I think about. I always think about policies when I talk about that.
Mm. Yeah, that is actually one interesting thing about our company, is that we decided that we are not going to be a writing policy company. So we don't need to put things in paper. We believe in the power of trainings as a knowledge multiplier. So that was actually one of the first initiatives we had in the GDPR segment and data privacy in general, was really roll out tailor-made trainings inside the company.
And that's amazing. I think that's so, so clever, because that's usually what I ask, is like, then how do you solve it, right? How do you put it into action and trainings? Really, I don't think anybody can get around that. No, it's the way.
Yeah, this training actually was a good start to our program. That actually was the phase one, because one way is also when you have training, you have this first image that you're just explaining people, right, things. Mm. But you also receive some feedbacks. So people also come to you and said, oh, I was not aware that I was dealing with that. I'm touching data privacy because I'm doing that with, I don't know, employees' information, personal information. And that is good. You notice that they create a sense of ownership of this topic because they're aware of what is that, and that is actually part of their daily work.
That is really great. And then connecting this with the topic we've been talking about earlier, no, with all your different locations and different country organization, I assume you do online trainings, or how do you manage that?
Yeah, so the goal is always have face-to-face training because we believe that the exchange is much better. But due to COVID, it was impossible, right? And also because right now we have office in Shanghai, in Manila, in Lisbon, and here in Frankfurt. And soon we are going to also have one in Mexico. So it's not possible to have that face-to-face. But I can say that we actually learn how to work far away from each other. And this virtual work and collaboration actually seems to be good and actually seems to be the future. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, we all got used to do way more Zoom meetings this year.
Yes, exactly.
Things changed up quite a bit. So great that we have those tools. Do you have some tips for other privacy professionals that have to build a data privacy organization from scratch and all the processes it implies? Maybe some learnings you made where you said, man, if I knew that before.
Yeah, I think my first tip is that try to understand that that is this giant that you need to deal with. So you cannot run away from it. It's not something that you're going to be able to work without touching the other things that are appearing on a daily basis. So my first tip is actually to understand that data privacy must go hand in hand with your business. We are talking about application of an objective legislation to a subjective environment that is your business. So if you put them together and try to make them evolve together, for sure you're going to the right direction. And if possible, if you didn't start your business yet, try to think about it before the business idealization. So for the day one, actually. But my second tip is, if you already lost that train, And if you're dealing with this firefight mode that I mentioned before, do not worry, you're not alone. Even well-structured companies are dealing with that. So learn how to prioritize. So how to deal with your daily requests, but at the same time, you start to work in your draft, your data privacy program. And be aware that you're only going to leave this firefight mode once you have a well-defined program. So do not froze, just work with that in parallel. My third tip is if you are implementing, and that is not only valid for data privacy programs, but any kind of compliance program. If you are implementing something in your company, make sure the voice of the company is on board on that. Make sure also that the people are aware of that. The tone of compliance, and that also englobe data privacy, should come from the top. Yeah, and last but not least, I would say build a class A team. I'm really proud to say that we have that at Emma. We have a team with a really strong sense of ownership, and that is definitely a game changer.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that is making such a difference. Also, the people that you interact with Fox Privacy, right? If they are like nice people that you feel like you can go to, you can talk to, you trust into what they're saying, it makes it so much easier, no?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's amazing. Thank you. That's great, great tips, I think. And then I wanted to ask you as well, was Emma operating in a specific field, e-commerce, right? Quite specific industry. Are there any specific implications. Now I don't speak English anymore. Are there any specific implications that you have in terms of data privacy when it comes to e-commerce businesses that maybe other industries don't face?
Yeah, I believe so. The first one, I think, is the amount of data we are dealing with. In addition to that, there is the fact that customers and companies are actually getting used to these track systems and cookies. So from the company side, I can say that we are trying to find the best combination between dealing with the legally way to collecting data and to use that to enhance the business because we need to make informed business decisions and also to be able to show our product in the correct channels and platforms. And for that, we need to collect some information. And also, our main focus is have the best customer experience. And the only way you can do that if you have the proper information. From the customer perspective, they are also having this fight. They are also considering, so should I disclose my information? How important is for me to keep my privacy? And from the other side, if I disclose something, so if I open some amount of information, I will also have some benefits, some advantages from that. So I think that the two parts are trying to figure out a way to work together and to have the best result. Because from our point of view, our goal is really to deliver the best customer experience. And find this balance is the tricky part, right? And I believe that's something that other industries may not face.
Few of them, I think. No, it's like very typical if you're like having a large amount of customers you're dealing with, and B2C especially, you know. And e-commerce, of course, is a front runner there. I assume also when it comes to data subject access requests, you have to deal way more with that than maybe some of our software customers that have a B2B audience and don't get much of that, no?
Exactly. And I also consider that is a second singularity of the e-commerce, that is we are really reliant on the customer trust. So it's different if you're an offline business. People need to trust in your product and in your brand. If you're an online business, people also need to trust like in you. It's completely strange and new, but it's exactly like that. So people need to feel comfortable just to type their private information there.
Of course, I remember times when we were so, where it felt new that you were providing your credit card information online, no, where this was like something that nowadays we're so used to, we do it everywhere. But I remember that when I was young and I was asking my dad for his credit card to purchase, I think, a travel trip or something, he was like, I'm not giving my credit card information online, that's very insecure, right? And we all got used around that, but private information is the same, personal information is the same, depending on the type of product you buy, you might even consider it quite sensitive, no? And that is very, very interesting to consider, like how transparency and dealing with privacy is actually becoming a value and something that enables you to do better business with your clients. I find that very fascinating and great that Emma is taking so much care of that. So I think that's a big, big pro as well. It's great in a company, you know, to see like how much effort is going to be put into a privacy system like this.
Yeah, definitely.
Perfect, great. Also, suppliers and providers is a topic that you, of course, deal with in an e-commerce setting. In our previous conversation, you mentioned that Emma, of course, contracts suppliers and providers from different countries. I mean, we heard you work in 30 countries. You have suppliers from various countries as well, of course. And you needed to deal with the challenge that there's little knowledge and awareness of data protection with them, right? How do you ensure that they are compliant?
I would say that the only way you can ensure that your suppliers and all business partners are compliant is really to build a good and solid relationship with them with an open communication. So my tip is really do not start with demands and listing all your requirements. Rather just sit with them, really try to understand where they stand. And have in mind that should be different from country to country, from company to company. For example, if you're dealing with small and medium-sized companies, the best way we found to address that was really to bring them close and help them to understand what we need from them. And also to figure out what is the maturity level that they have on this topic, because sometimes you just even need to train them. And if you consider also the other way around, so if you are the smaller one in the relationship, so if you have big providers, or even companies that are longer in the market, they are usually more mature than you are. So maybe in this context, you are the one that is going to learn something. But in this case, I always recommend bring your DPO to the table just to make sure that you equalize the level of the discussion. It's really important. And doesn't matter if you are the big, the small one, the size of your supplier, make sure that you are compliant, so that you have all your reports and that you have a good data process agreement in place.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that you mentioned, which is really great, oftentimes when people think about that, they think about a process of working with a new supplier, right? And being able to check the new supplier and maybe potentially even being able to say no to a new supplier, right? If they are not complying. But I mean, obviously, a lot of people come into the process of there are existing suppliers, and you need to check. And it's not like just because you say, I'm not so happy with the compliance or how they're treating data protection, that suddenly the business says, okay, fine, we're going to change it, Bruna, no problem, tomorrow, next, right? That's not the reality.
No, exactly. And actually, one of the most important parts here is keep everyone in the company involved with this specific supplier aware of the reasons why data privacy is important for this specific relationship. So really explain to them, especially during the negotiation phase, if it's possible, if that is a supplier that is not onboarded yet, what are the risks involved, why some protection measures are important, and yeah, what you need to have in place in order to be safe. But if you don't have your own team on board, it's really hard to convince the other company to make any changes.
Of course, and that's great if you have a good process of onboarding new suppliers, new partners, etc. That of course always helps, but I think it's also so great that you're really taking the time to train and sitting down with the ones that you already have, because in the end, it's in the interest of most businesses to do a good job, and oftentimes it's just the lack of resources, knowledge, etc. of that. Especially if you work with different countries that have different legislations that maybe don't know of GDPR, etc. I think that's a great, great approach to it, no? Great. I think that was that. I'm so amazed. Thank you about so much great input in just 25 minutes. I think you've made a great round of telling us how to deal with getting into the situation of creating a data protection program from scratch, dealing with pre-existing suppliers, rolling out through different countries. I mean, you said it right? Since 2020 and it's 10 years in startup years.
Exactly.
I feel you, it really is. Thank you so much for that, Bruna. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with before I do the outro?
No, actually, I would like to really thank you for this opportunity. It was really fun. Time really passed really fast when you're having fun, right? 25 minutes, I was really surprised when you mentioned that. Yeah, but I can share my email if you had any personal questions. If I can somehow help with your any situation and share a little bit of my experience, I think that experience that is something that we have really to share with the others, so you avoid people going to the same mistakes that you have. So my email is just as my name, bruna@asensu.com. So yeah,
that's
happy
amazing.
To help if I can somehow.
And you're also on LinkedIn, no? For people who might want to find you there.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Bruna. Anyways, thank you, of course, Bruna, for your time, but also for all of our listeners, of course, as usual. And thanks also for joining the podcast in English this time. I hope that was a fun experience, a bit more international. We love that. Stay tuned for more exciting guests. And also, of course, don't forget to listen to our latest episodes that we have launched. We had a great podcast with Svenja Nielsen, head of legal and group DPO at Telio, who talked about data protection being an essential part of their business, right? Working as a telecommunication solution for prisons, which is very fascinating. And also with Mark Hansel, we had a great podcast, General Counsel at Gorillas, who talked about scaling data protection. Today we also touched the topic a bit. They, of course, were scaling like crazy throughout the last year, and it's a big challenge that they mastered very well and that he shares with us. All of our podcast episodes, as well as any information, of course, about our own Predetect solution, can be found on our website. Feel free to visit us at www.predetect.de. And then I'm looking forward to hopefully welcome you for the next podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.